This is a Wonder Root artist feature, and I'm speaking with artist Bethany Collins. Bethany, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm doing okay. Sorry.
I know you're battling a little bit of a bug, but thank you for coming out and soldiering through this.
My pleasure.
I'm very curious, Bethany, about the similarities between Alabama and New Mexico. There have to be some, right?
I think the absence of those similarities is one reason I came back home. Well, I guess I consider Atlanta kind of home now. When I moved out to New Mexico, it was just this sense of vast openness. And even before I moved there, my work was still about race and identity. And so that openness was incredibly welcome. There's not the same kind of black and white, perfect, strict dichotomy that we have here in the South, there in New Mexico. And I liked the absence of that dichotomy. But I started to miss it. I missed that dichotomous conversation, or that people kind of knew what I was talking about without me having to go into a grand theoretical conversation. And I also missed the color green. There's no green in New Mexico.
How long were you there?
2 years.
Okay. So coming from Alabama, going to New Mexico, and then coming back to the South, to Atlanta, what have you learned about yourself as an artist in all of those travels?
I think I knew this when I was hungering to come back to the Southeast, that the Southeast is a grand part of my work, and being here infiltrates and influences my work in a way that being apart from it, there's something missing. I don't know how to talk about it if I'm not here. And so I know, people tend to move to the bigger cities, LA and New York, but I want to build my practice here because this is what I'm talking about. And this is where I'm from, and this is what my work is about. I want to be directly connected to it in order to make this work.
Well, for all of our listeners out there, because I know about your work, I want you to talk about your work so that they can hear it from your perspective.
All of my work to this point has been about race and identity and using language to grapple with those two really big notions. And so I like to frame my work by referencing this quote by Rebecca Walker from her autobiography, Black, White, and Jewish, Autobiography of a Shifting Self. And for a while, it's been one of my favorite texts. And very early in the text, she talks about missing this black outline around her body that it seems like everyone else has already. They're just walking around with it. And so for me, that's been a really lovely way of talking about this experience of being black, but also being biracial, and that there is this something missing. There's this kind of firmly set identity in the world that everyone else takes for granted, and that is not quite as tangible for me. So that is what my work has been about. It's oftentimes black and white. I'm trying to kind of reduce these gigantic ideas about race and social identity, and even language into the most basic forms, because I think they're so big, so I need to make them somehow more tangible or more holdable in a way. So that's what my work has been about. But lately I'm becoming really interested in another quote by Danzy Senna. She wrote a memoir, Where Did You Sleep Last Night? And she talks about that you can ask this question of who are you, who are you, who are you so many times that it becomes a kind of black hole that absorbs everything around it. And so I'm interested now that I feel like my outline is more firmly set or my sense of identity is more firmly rooted in blackness, well, what next? And so what I'm kind of interested now is in that gapped outline again, or the absence, or what sets you apart? What are the kind of exceptions to the rule? Because I think I've done the work to firmly set my identity, so now I've got some space. That's what I'm interested in, space. Some kind of breathing room. And I think that's showing up in my newer work. It's not quite articulatable yet, but it's there. It's coming.
One of the words that comes to mind when I think about your work is intricate.
Obsessive.
I like intricate.
Okay.
And I say that because I remember looking at something that you had done, and I had some people with me, and I knew you, so it was different for me to see your work because I already knew you.
Yeah.
But they were having some problems figuring out what it is that you were doing
mm-hmm.
or your process.
Mm-hmm.
So can you speak a little bit about process?
Sure. They were probably talking about my white noise series, the chalk on chalkboards.
Yes.
And that particular series, it's ongoing. And it's, you know, it's been a good series to me. But in it, I'm using, so chalk on chalkboard. So it's this really stark, chalky white on this brilliant kind of sea of blackness in the background. And in it, I'm deconstructing language. So I take statements or questions that people have thrown my way about my identity. So some of them would be, do people ever think you're white? Or I wish I was black too. Or I'm just so politically correct today. Statements that I don't really know what to do with, and I'm not sure where the speaker is coming from. And so I'm literally deconstructing them letter by letter by letter, obsessively, until they become this kind of sea of white noise. And so the process of that for me then, by deconstructing those statements or those questions letter by letter over and over again, and sometimes getting stuck on a letter and just repeating it until it can kind of make sense of it, what that does for me is allow me to kind of obsess or maybe more positively meditate on the statement or question, because I want to know what are you trying to say to me? What are you really asking me? And I also don't want that to kind of infiltrate into my own identity. Do people ever think you're white? Well, I don't know that I really want to focus on that question, so let me blow it back up and deconstruct it and make something new out of it. So that's what I've been doing. It's pretty obsessive, though.
Intricate?
It's pretty intricate. Intricately obsessive.
Intricately obsessive. Do you have siblings?
I do.
Are all of your siblings of the same parents?
They're not.
Okay. No. Because I wanted to know, I was going to go down the road of trying to figure out if this same conversation of race and identity was something that you had shared with a sibling or two in trying to figure out the world together.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't seem like that's...
Well, I have one sibling who's also biracial.
Okay, so, well, yeah, I'll just let you take it from there. Okay.
And I think we've approached this conversation very, very differently. For her, I don't think it's been as much of an issue or something that she's grappled with as much as I have. I want to speak for her, but it doesn't seem to be as much a kind of integral part of her identity as it has been for me. I don't know why. Maybe because I'm the artist and I'm just super more sensitive to things. I don't know.
What is her identity, if you don't mind me asking?
I think she identifies as black, but okay. It doesn't, like, to me, I connect more with this conversation about, yes, I am black. That is how I self-identify. But I'm also biracial, and I say that as a kind of technicality, so you know where my work is coming from. That's not my identity necessarily. And that, to me, connects with this conversation of I identify with blackness. This is my roots. This is where I'm from. This is the people and the folks that I am aligning myself with here. This is me. And so historically, then, to say that one is biracial is kind of a rejection of blackness. And so I firmly set myself with blackness. That's just who I am. For her, I think she automatically felt a little bit more room. And I'm just kind of presupposing. We don't have really these in-depth conversations, actually. But I think there's always been a little bit more room for her to feel like, well, I mean, but it's okay. But I am, so let's deal with that. Whereas I like the strict dichotomy. Okay.
You recently had some work featured at the Atlanta Airport.
Yeah.
Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport. I think that's the full official name of it.
Yes.
Talk about that work and what did that mean to you?
That was super cool. It was a show curated both by the, it was curated by Hope Cohn. It's an independent curator in town. And I don't know where she'd seen my work, but she just called me up one day, which was kind of cool, and asked to come and have a studio visit. And I had one of my really large white noise pieces. It's about 48 by 70, so it's a cumbersome thing that I've been toting around for a year now. And it's called Unrelated, so it's from, the text is actually from being in Montgomery when I was younger, and I was walking down the street one day with my family. We just come from volunteering at Habitat for Humanity on a Saturday, and the Montgomery Advertiser reporter came up to each of us with my mom, my dad, my sister, and I. We're all walking on the same block, same sidewalk. We look like family here. And he interviews my parents, and then the next day he quotes each of them, and he says, this quote by James Collins, blah, blah, blah. Connie Collins said, unrelated. Connie Collins, unrelated, said blah, blah, blah. And it's like, but we were all there right together. And they had two children who look just like them, and they look like a blend of each of them. How could you think that they are so unrelated? But that's actually a term that's kind of come up again and again, specifically being in Montgomery. I can walk through the cash register line, and someone will ask us if we're together. You know, are you buying this together? Is this separate? But we're standing right here holding hands, or she's hugging me. What are you talking about? With my mother. So that piece then came from that text of Unrelated. And that work in particular, so it as well as that chalk on chalkboard deconstruction of language. But for that work in particular, what I did was a little bit distinct in terms of my process. I stayed with it till I finished it. I didn't walk away and look at it to see if it had become something beautiful. I did it in one long, long sitting. And what I liked about that process was it wasn't necessarily about making something really lovely. It was about being finished with that text or being finished with that statement. And so I did it until my hand hurt. And when my hand hurt, I had to let it go. Maybe. Kind of let it go. And then actually out of that kind of process of doing this until I'm physically in pain or my hand is cramping here, came another series of work where I'm erasing that chalk on chalkboard text and clapping the erasers together with all of that buildup of chalk residue and letting it kind of float in the air and photograph it as a kind of way of letting go. I erased it. It's gone. I'm done. Can't revisit it. It's over. Oh, so the airport, though, that's the piece in the airport. That is the piece in the Emerge exhibition at the airport. And it's amazing, actually. I sold that piece, I think, because it was in the airport. I thought I was going to live with it for the rest of my life because it's so big. Being in the Atlanta airport, it's a kind of recognition that people, oh, you're in the airport. Oh, this is fancy. You're getting good here. So it's been good to me. Thank you, Hope Cohn. That's been really good to me. And thank you, Hartsfield Jackson, too.
Bethany Collins, how can the rest of Atlanta and the world, outside of visiting your work at the airport, you can travel there, but how can they visit your work and learn more about you beyond that? Give all your information.
My name is Bethany Collins, and my website is www.bethanycollins.com. Do I need to spell it, or is that pretty evident?
I think we got it.
Okay. And my email's there as well. It's bethany@bethanycollins.com. It's so kind of sounds so narcissistic when you say it all together like that. So I'd love to hear from folks. And also then my Walt Hall Fellowship exhibition is coming up at MoCA GA on April 26th. I hope you all will be there.
Bethany. Thank you.
Thank you so much. That was fun.